This is the In This League Fantasy Podcast Network. In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Online at inthisleague.com. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Interact and follow the show on Twitter at InThisLeaguePod. Now, here's your hosts, Bogman and the Welsh.
What's up, friends, and welcome in. This is the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast. The end of the playoffs. We are here. It is Bogman and the Welsh. No guests on the episode today. In This League ran out of funds. Any guests on the episode. That's why we've been out for the last, you know, Patreon is tinkering down a little bit on the back half of the baseball season, Boggs. And, you know, how do you guys expect us to get guests when they cost $50 to $100 and we're not able to do it on the episode? Of course, if you are not on the Twitters, hat tip to Dan Clark for doing one thing. Maybe the impossible. Maybe the impossible. Dan Clark Sports, Dan Clark, just an internet troll idiot, did the thing that we didn't think was possible. He united fantasy baseball. He united sports fans in general.
He really did.
By having the dumbest, stupidest, most moronic take and digging in and bordering on what level of troll he truly was. He's a bad take guy. And I think he relishes in that. But Dan Clark Sports tweeted about how he charges $50 to $100 to make guest appearances on podcasts, and how someone told him to F off. And he's like, I take an hour of prep and my audience and blah, blah, blah. And it's, I don't even know if I want to do it for the money anymore. And this MF-er got, I trolled him. I put a clown gif out there and we had some Photoshops of it. So much so, the entire internet, Boggs, rallied to say what a dumb scum idiot this guy is. Ultimate troll of trolls. And so much so, I think he protected his account and started limiting stuff. And I don't know what was satire, what wasn't, but we found out that, you know, there might be money out there. I'm going to be honest, Boggs. I almost tweeted at him to pay him to come on just to crap on him. I might have paid just to have that done at this point.
Dude, somebody in the baseball room was like, I hope it was Bogman that said that to him, because it does sound like something that I would say,
I would have said this if this guy, if I was like, hey, Dan, you know, which, by the way, why would we ever have this guy on? I don't even know what Dan Clark, I think
I've never even heard of him before yesterday. So
I've heard of him because he's like, he's a bad take machine. Like,
right.
He says dumb stuff, but it's not.
Well, for me, those are just takes because I like Billy Burns. So, those are just regular takes.
It's not those things. It's like,
he's just contrarian. I understand what you're saying.
Skip Bayless, but on Twitter with less popularity, but he does have a blue check mark. Like, that's along the lines. But like, I don't know. And it could have been more, I don't know. It could have been more like just engagement based than like reality, but it really wasn't. There were like a 3-tweet thread about it. It was pretty incredible. The entire fantasy baseball community rallied around it. Unfortunately, though, you know, shows how unfunny everybody is, because everybody had the same joke. Every person had the same, like, we're not going to have a guest, or I'll come on your podcast. You know, like, and then okay, we get it.
Sure.
But Dan Clark sucks, and he's the biggest suck, and he got us all together. You know what? He brought a really positive light. So you know what? Good on Dan. We should have Dan on. We should have Dan on and congratulate him for doing good work on baseball at the back end of the year.
Yeah, and just to peel the curtain back a little bit, we have never paid for a guest ever.
Oh,
and
are you kidding me? I
we've never been paid guests.
I would tell someone to F off if they said you will have to pay me. I would tell them to F off so quick. That's not even
the only person. Well, I shouldn't say who it is. You know who it is. I can think of one person in the industry that might ever do that. You know,
a football guy?
No, a baseball guy. I'm going to put it in the private chat.
Oh,
so,
yeah. I got to know. Who do you think? I'm curious. Because
I think that guy would probably do that at some point.
Spore
knows. Yeah.
Spore has mentioned this guy on our podcast before with this guy. Yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah, I could totally say he is so pretentious enough to say something like that, or to be like, yeah, I'm going to need like $25.
Well, you get paid for my time. It's just professional courtesy. Look, for me, it's, yeah, you don't, you don't, ask for money, but you do say no, you know, like, because there have been plenty of times where I just can't fit whatever in my schedule or, you know, like we do a lot. People ask late and I'm like, oh, man, I can't do tomorrow because I got X, Y, and Z going, you know, but usually if someone asks me like 3 days in advance, I can usually squeeze time or find something or whatever to do stuff.
Always say yes.
Yeah.
Almost always. I mean, if anything, Boggs, you couldn't make Triple Play just had the thing and you had
yeah.
to say no. I said yes. And I had to, and dude, before that, I was taking my kids to a school function. We raced home and I jumped on and did a hit. I mean, it's not even like, it's hilarious that this was even a conversation because I didn't know that was a thing. Now, I do know in like comedy, there are comedy guys that will pay their buddies and stuff $100 because they have like, you know, big sponsorships. But
right.
Like the only thing that's a little wonky about it is like all of fantasy baseball is like, hey, listen, I've never charged. Like, well, yeah.
No, well, also those comedy podcasts, dude. Also those comedy podcasts, like most of the time you have to take a half a day, drive across town to go to someone's studio and all that. Like
money, like if you're yeah. 50,000 to 100,000 hits or something like that. You have spot. You have big.
You're making thousands of dollars an episode, right? Yeah.
Thousands potentially in some of those, even in the smaller ones, when they're reading off, you know, HelloFresh and all that stuff, like they're making big money. Fantasy baseball just doesn't do that. Like,
yeah.
You know, like CBS puts up those numbers. Sleeper on the Bus puts up decent numbers, but still, it's a ridiculous thing. I would love, especially the guy you put in the chat. I would love to know if anybody's ever asked it. it united us all. It was such a great moment.
Who would you pay to come on? Like, Dan is Clark. No, outside of Dan Clark.
I would 100% there... say out of my pocket right now, I would pay Dan Clark to come on. Like,
just
I would
to S
say,
on him. Right.
Here's what I would say. You get paid after the appearance. And I would 100% do it because I would tear into him and I wouldn't pay him and then let him be on for 3 seconds.
Right
after the appearance, I'd pay for Dan Clark. Okay, but no, serious. Who would we pay?
Yeah, like, is there a single person you would pay to like that you admire so much or would want to hear their opinion so much, whatever it is, or just think that it would be huge for us? Like any single person that you go, okay, I would pay them like whatever, $150-$200 to come on the show.
I just no, because like it's just. Not like
it'd have to be like a player. It'd have to be like Derek Jeter. You know what I mean? And then like, yeah, it's going to be way more than $200.
Yeah. Why would they want $150?
Right.
Like they're not going to want that for, I mean, these guys, like the baseball players, Derek Jeter gets like $200, $300 per autograph that takes him 3 seconds to do, you know? So it's like a 20-30 minute. There's nobody I would pay because then if you have to pay them, you know, it's kind of a whole pretentious thing. And at the end of the day, like, how much does any of it really help? You know, our model has always been built off of we have guests that, you know, we promote, they promote. It's all good. It's great interactions. But, like, how much does any of it really, really help? Even, like,
my time
on CBS, like, helped. But the CBS bump was still minimal. I mean, there are people. It's funny enough. There was somebody in this conversation around the Dan Clark stuff that was like, you know, like, guest appearances are what it's all about. And this person was saying how, like, they discovered SP Streamer for something else. And they said they discovered me from being on CBS. And it's like, yeah, that's that. And I've definitely CBS of all the hits I've ever done has probably been number one in getting new followers and listeners. And I'd say like, you know, the one time Spore had us on, like that was like relatively decent.
Yeah.
Other than that, like even those are still minimal. Like,
yeah, it's more about going on someone else's show than, you know,
anybody on our show. Yeah. That's a great point. It's been not here, not, you know, not bringing anybody on.
Yeah, I think I'd be more likely to pay to be on someone else's show than I would to pay.
What show would you pay to go on?
Well, like an MLB Network show, like that would be
awesome.
I'm
at the point I'll pay to just, if Spore will ever invite us back on Sleeper on the Bus, I'll pay him. You know what we're going to do? I just realized this.
He's such a troll for Spore. Spore troll on the planet. He has less trolling on Twitter than you on this show.
But Paul and I troll each other. Like, Paul will come out of the effing clouds and text us in our text thread, and he'll just it's a troll on me. So we troll each other. Yeah, I mean, no big deal. He calls us best friends and everything like that, or great friends, and never has us on his podcast.
We were on, weren't we? Well, we weren't on this year.
Nope. No, not this entire year. We haven't been on. We're not good enough for that. But Paul and I are going to play, we're going to do some PS5 streaming, I think, tomorrow, as people are listening to this. It's going to be Madden, though.
That might be better than being on Sleeper in the Bus, to be honest with you.
Well, but see, the only thing we haven't determined is I don't know if he's going to come on to ours or come on to his. But we should have a bet on the game, and I'll be like, you have to have us on Sleeper in the Bus.
So is he a big Madden player? I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that bet would be good.
Probably not. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But we'll have something. But
hey, user pick, user stiff arm. Yeah, I can hear all of it.
And if Paul does come on ours, the good thing is I have perfected the technology where both of us can be on the same time on the stream.
Yes.
I'm not sure if he has that.
You were working hard with all of those mechanical engineers. You have perfected the technology.
I paid them all. Exactly.
Yeah, of course.
The engineers. That's what we do.
Oh yeah, we'd be paying sport too, right? I mean, for sure. So.
Oh yeah. But yeah. So look on that. By the way, twitch.tv/inthisleague. Paul and I may be hitting up later this week. Maybe Bogman as well. I don't know which stream it'll be in. If it's Paul or Eyes or both or whatever it is. But yeah, no, it was great. Dan Clark is he's the best. I love how dumb he is, and I love.
Honestly, I think your point about him uniting fantasy baseball Twitter is just so good, because you know it's been contentious this season. You know, there's been a lot of camps forming, or groups, or however you want to say it. But this really brought the whole community together, and we love to see that.
Yeah, and you're right. It's been really bad because everybody wants to call. And, you know, and unfortunately, I think we're growing to see some of the camps that are the pickers, if you know what I mean. Like, they pick on people, and I'm kind of over those people that they want to, like, just S on everybody. Like, oh, these guys over here, over there. You know, they subtly call people out. Like, that's getting pretty tiresome. So, you know, thank God that someone's got to be the villain, and Dan Clark was the ultimate villain, and we appreciated that. And, you know, maybe we should all pay him a dollar for his good work that he's done. So can you imagine? He's like, I do an hour of prep. You don't do an hour of prep. No way. No way you do an hour of prep before a podcast. Well, what do they talk to Dan Clark about? I don't even know who he is. It's ultimate troll. I think it's like an Andy Kaufman job that he's doing really, really good. By the way, on the episode today, a couple news and notes. Obviously, we're going to talk about what you can do over this last week. You got this week and next week pretty much to get things going. So we will be talking. We got a couple prospect appearances as well. One that's happening today, one that happened yesterday for the Diamondbacks, which is exciting, except it was in relief. But you're not going to get the prospect appearances, I believe. But friends, we want to remind you that you can pay to be on the show. No, you can't pay to be on the show, but you can pay.
Well,
a minute. I mean, maybe we'll start doing that.
Yeah, I mean,
that might be a good revenue source, just like pay to get on. But we do have a thing. It's much less than Dan Clark would require for a podcast appearance with our Patreon, patreon.com/ITLArmy. As a matter of fact, as little as $5 is going to get you my ranks, my dynasty, my prospect. And I'm going to have some early 2022 redraft ranks. Plus, I've got events in 2 weeks. 2 weeks. October 1st is the next Break This League event, where we're going to be breaking some tops in Bowman Chrome. I've got some insane-o giveaways and raffles. The raffles are going to be nuts, the stuff that I've got in. I actually don't even know what all to do. Plus, we've got other live streams, comedy secret shows. You can upgrade a little bit to get into the GroupMe rooms, which we've got baseball, Prospect 1, and a whole bunch more early mock drafts we do. You're going to want to be a part of it, and you are supporting us, which we appreciate, keeping us afloat. Patreon.com/ITLArmy. Baseball season ends, but don't let it do that for you. Get a jump start on 2022 within this league. Patreon.com/ITLArmy or inthisleague.com. It'll take you right there. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Shane Boz is making his major league debut today, Boggs. And, you know, there's a strikeout prop bet at 4.5.
Oh, see this MF for this guy right here has just the worst weekend betting, and just sends me these depressy text. Oh, I'm done with betting. I'm the worst. I'll never do it again. Blah, blah, blah. We're 15 minutes into the show, and here he is. There's a prop bet on Shane Boz and all of his strikeouts here.
You wouldn't actually believe this, but I had a horrific early Sunday. I turned it around and we broke even after all of that. Thank you, Chiefs, and thank you, CeeDee Lamb, to get through.
But well, not the Chiefs. The Chiefs lost that game straight out.
No, Patrick Mahomes and the over. Thank you for both of those. We cashed on both of those. And CeeDee Lamb made me a bunch. But there is a nice little Shane Boz starting again. But it's Blue Jays. But hey, Blue Jays can strike out. Shane Boz throwing 98. I don't love him, especially at this point. I mean, I could be wrong. Shane Boz, to me, has very much a early Max Scherzer feel, where it's like an electric, big power fastball. I remember when Scherzer made his debut, he ended up going 4, striking out 8, that type of stuff. I don't believe Boz is going to go deep into the game, also because he's a Ray, but I really think he's a dude that can get like 6 strikeouts in this, and his stuff can fly that I think it might trip up some of those Blue Jays early on. So I just kind of like that bet that I might do. But Shane Boz making his debut after just an absolutely electric minor league season. And I actually want to I want to give you the numbers here, because Boz was one of those guys we saw in the fall league in 2019, and he could throw 100, but he couldn't throw. I mean, he couldn't hit the broad. Was it broadside of a barn?
Look at you. Yes, it is. Very, hey, very nice.
So good about my, now I have to make the bet. I
got all the cliches. You got them.
I hit a cliche, then I'm going to make the bet. I'm going to make it right. But a 2.06 ERA, 113 strikeouts in 78 innings this season, and he's only walked 13. He has a 0.8 whip on the year, and I mean, those are impressive numbers for this guy, because he lights it up. He could hit over 100 if he's in relief, and his secondary stuff's a little bit questionable, but not walking, he's hitting the zone, and that's why I think you can hit that prop on there. I'm just, if you are in, like, here's where I would go. It's a bad matchup because it's the Blue Jays, and if that ball comes around the plate, then Vlad's gonna take the home run lead.
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, Bub and I were going over this on Line Star last night, and I was just kind of thinking, if you want to, like, if you want to, because his price is good, great, but against the Blue Jays, I mean, that was like, and Bub even brought this up, like, why not throw him yesterday? Who were the Rays playing yesterday? It wasn't the Blue Jays. I know that. Yeah. So, you know, it would have just made way more sense to put him in because he was just sitting on the bench yesterday. Like, well, to put him in against that team instead of here's your debut. Go hit against go pitch against Bo Bichette and Vlad Jr. and all those guys. Yeah, have a great time.
Get some free swing. And that's why I don't think if his stuff is on, I actually feel relatively confident about it because he's throwing more strikes. I think the thing that's going to happen is if he's on, he's going to rack up. He's going to rack up some strikeouts. He's just still not going to go deep. I think he can go 4 innings, strikeout 7 in this one. But if he starts to get behind, he's going to walk guys. That's what he did in 2019. Like, if he's trying to paint too much, I think that's going to be a problem. And then it could be one of those where he goes 2 innings because he's walked 3 guys, and so I just don't feel confident about it for your playoffs if you guys were trying to get him out there. Now, if you're in Roto and you're good on your ERA and you're just trying to play strikeouts, there's a play. If you're trying to home run hit, there you go. But I can't imagine Boz is going to go deep enough unless he is dominant. I can't imagine he's going to go deep enough to be able to even qualify for a win. So I just don't see where the worth is. But this is probably one of the last legs of big prospects that are going to be coming up over the next 2 weeks. You're not going to see Julio. You're not going to see Adley. You're not going to see any of these dudes because they're going to be later this week, whenever the hell it is, if it's tomorrow or Wednesday or whatever. But the Arizona Fall League is going to this week, because there's official thing that's come out, is the press release is coming from MLB this week. Could be later today that they'll announce all the Arizona Fall League stuff. And I expect guys like Adley. I don't expect Bobby, but Julio, Adley, I think they're going to the Fall League, and that's why. And also, Instructs starts today for the Cubs, A's, Angels, and Rockies start Instructs today as we're recording this, doing camp days. And the official first game starts tomorrow. And then next week, at least in Arizona, another 7 teams start up. So you're going to have a lot of the prospects out here, and other guys are going to be preparing to come over for the Arizona Fall League. So that's your prospect world, because the minor league season is ending, Box. A lot of, yeah. I think it was the low A stuff has all ended, and even double A. I think triple A goes till the end of the year, but minor league season kind of done. It's sad.
Yeah, I mean, And the regular season has 12 days left. So, you know, it's as you're listening to this. So it's all coming to an end, which is, unfortunate to see it go. But the playoffs will still be entertaining us. And then it'll be right back on top of us in a snap, you know, and we're not going very far. Like we've said already, we're going to take a little time off in October, but then we're going to come right back at it. In November. So,
October is off to prepare the 2022 redraft ranks. The fall league is starting up and instructs, and that's going to be in preparation for my minor league stuff. So you'll still get the dynasty and prospect updates, and they'll kind of even go like way further, because once the fall league starts up and whatever I can get in instructs, I'll be reporting over there. And then November, the redraft will already be available, and we will be starting back up on the pods. Also, Diamondbacks' Luis Frias got made his major league debut, and this was a symptom of just kind of like the season's ending and everything like that, and they put him in the bullpen. I love Luis Frias. Big fireball pitcher. Had a really good year. Moved multiple levels. He got double A. I think he did end at triple A. Yeah, he went three different levels this year, from high A to double to triple. And he got hit up a little bit in double A with a 5 ERA, and then I'd extended into triple A. But the big key is going to be, where does he end up? Like, is he going to get a rotation spot next year? I'm not sure how optimistic I am. And his debut wasn't great. Did get a strikeout, but went two thirds of an inning, walked three, but he was pumping fastballs. He was a just straight two-pitch pitcher in that outing. He was 44% fastball, 48% slider, which is devastating. He threw two curveballs. There wasn't great movement on either one of those, but and he couldn't command the fastball, which was his problem. If you go look at his heat chart, he barely threw any for strikes, but he gets big swings and misses. If he's not a starter long term, he could be a relief option. I love that the Diamondbacks are giving him a look for going into next year, because if they're garbage, they might put him in the rotation. If not, I legit think this could be a young guy that could be in the back end of the bullpen if they wanted to, like early next year.
I mean, you know, the way you're describing him with the two pitches, it sounds about right. So, he threw it twice. Come on.
Yeah, he only threw it a couple times. But I mean, it wasn't like a big.
It's like how I eat vegetables. It's like, well, I ate some vegetables this week, but it was twice out of 40 meals. So, yeah, you know.
I ate a piece of broth. I ate some lettuce.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know.
You don't like lettuce on your burger, though, do you?
No, lettuce is fine. I don't like tomato or pickles. So.
Yeah, you like the
tomato. I like onions, though. I like onions and lettuce and all that stuff. So.
Yeah. I don't
like the texture of tomatoes, and I don't like the taste of pickles. So,
I mean, pickles are the worst thing on the planet. Everybody knows that.
I mean, I don't think they're the worst thing on the planet. But it won't ruin a burger for me if they're put on, but I will take them off. Also, not a ketchup guy. Don't like ketchup.
Oh, okay, what do you like? You like onion? See, that's weird. I don't like
cheese and mustard and onions and lettuce and meat.
I hate onions, but more than anything, if you talk consistency,
you don't like onion rings.
I can kind of do onion rings. See, onions are one of those things that have to be snuck. Like, my wife treats me like a child sometimes. Like, if you chop them up, like,
sometimes you deserve to be treated like a child, you know, and me most of the time. So,
but if you chop them up like really tiny and I don't have to like crunch on them, like I can manage it. Remember like how, McDonald's would do their, you know, the regular cheeseburger, the little tiny onions.
Yeah. Yeah. Those really tiny slices
are actually manageable to me. I don't like the big, thick, crunchy onions. I don't like onions, and I hate pickles.
How did we get here on Luis Frias?
I don't know. Carl's Jr. We just have Diamondbacks, Carl's Jr. burgers, toppings, a little bit of vegetables, and a little bit of curveball on his two pitches. So he's only relief. He's not an option on anything.
That's what it was. It was vegetables. Yeah.
Sort of a long-term thing you're looking for the future. Some news and notes. Kyle Tucker was taken out of Sunday's game with right shoulder discomfort. That's not necessarily bueno. Darvish was good again, so he's on an every other start.
Yeah.
So here's the key then. We've got to look. Who does he have coming up this week? Let's see if the matchup. It's the Atlanta Braves. So by virtue of Yu Darvish rules, he will be terrible that game.
He will be terrible.
I mean, the Braves are no joke.
Yeah, I mean, the Braves are playing well. So I assume that, since we said he's terrible, he'll go and have a complete game shutout now.
Oh, so
I mean, that's just
it.
Yeah.
We reverse the every other.
I mean, yeah, I feel like everything I say is going opposite recently. It's probably just my weekend that I had for football. But
our
yes.
jinx is more powerful than the every other start baseball.
Ooh, that's a good. Well, we're going to find out, aren't we? What day is that start? That's on Thursday or Friday?
That is on Friday, I think. Okay, Friday. So what's our official? We're
saying this is the bad start.
Okay, so if he's good, ITL's curse is stronger than the baseball lore of every other start.
Yes, yes,
yeah. And so it shall pass. Joey Galloway
Ohio said, State. Bet everything on Ohio State. They're playing Oregon. They're going to smash them. That's Joey Gallo. That's what I remember.
Joey Gallo left Saturday's game with neck tightness. He didn't play on Sunday, so watch that for the rest of this week. Jesse Winker was placed back on the IL for what is maybe the seventh.
You know what he was? He was the gif of Bart Simpson's grandfather coming into the bar, seeing Bart, hanging up his hat, turning around, picking up his hat, and leaving. That was him.
Essentially, Bart at the bar thing would be a regular season game, and the door would be IL. So he leaves the IL, just turns right back around, back on the IL. He is unbelievable. I mean,
they're in the thick of this race, right? So they want their best hitters back. I understand that, but it's just clear he's just not ready. So
Nelson Cruz got a start again on Sunday, but he left after a couple of bats. He was hit on the pitch.
Hit him right on his pitch.
Yep. I hate when my pitch gets
hit. Smack my pitch up. Yeah. What you said.
That's right. Pitch better have my money. Terry Francona is expected to return for Cleveland next season. Okie doke. Cody Bellinger has a non-displaced rib fracture, expected to try to play through it.
So this is like...
This is bigger news. This should have been at the top.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm the guy that fills it out. Why is Cody Bellinger big news right now?
Because of the rib displaced fracture.
Why would you want him? No one who owns Cody Bellinger is starting him right now. No, he's the worst.
I want to know, how long has this been a thing?
I think this, he had a collision with Gavin Lux in the outfield. So it hasn't been forever. Yeah. It's not. So this is not the cause of him being really terrible. It's just another thing
Maybe he had it. Maybe he had. The rib. Maybe so the rib was sensitive.
He didn't. He did not. Sensitive. He didn't. So that's why it's not big news, because it's like, oh, well, he's already crappy, and here's another crappy thing that happened to him. This is not the cause of his crappiness. So that is why it's at the bottom of this list. It does not matter.
I am going to believe that.
The worst part is you can't stick him on the IL because he's going to try to play through it. Like, all you want to do.
He should have been cut a long time ago.
Well, but what about for keeper leagues and dynasty leagues? You can't cut him there. But that's what I'm saying. Like, that's where you want to stick him on the IL, or any league, really, if you're trying to hold on to him. Just stick him on the IL so you don't have to play him.
That rib was already sensitive and maybe was.
Yeah, it wasn't.
And then when he ran into Gavin Lux, it broke. And then they're like, oh, look, and it's a thing. And he's going to do good in the offseason. He's going to come back.
No, it's the shoulder. The shoulder's been bothering him the whole year. So, I mean, the rib.
Gavin Lux, the rib would have broke.
What I wish is that, I hope that now he's going to try to play through this. Whatever is bothering him at the plate, now all he can do is focus on his rib pain and he starts to hit.
A displaced fracture?
Displaced means the bone moved. Non-displaced means your bone didn't move. I didn't look that up. That's just the word displaced would say that to me. So like if you broke your finger, but it's still straight, it's not displaced. When you see your finger in its
toe.
Yeah. So your toe facing the other way, that's displaced.
All right. So here it is. Displaced fracture is bone breaks into two or more pieces and moves out of alignment.
All right. So I'm completely wrong. Yeah.
Non-displaced fracture, the bone breaks but does not move out of alignment. A closed fracture is the skin is not broken. So a non-displaced fracture means the bone broke
and didn't
move. It's still in place, which doesn't mean they have to do like a crazy thing to keep it in. That's unbelievable that you would play through. I mean, I guess you've been this bad. Just try something new. He's like, maybe my bones. He's like back in the 90s. He's like Marilyn Manson. Remember, everybody's like, hey, he took out his ribs so he could be himself.
Yeah.
Like, that's who Cody Bellinger is. He's taking out his ribs so he can hit some balls. That's what he's doing. He's trying anything. Now I just take out the bottom four ribs so I got more movement. I can displace this ball out of the field for once or twice. Let's look how bad Cody Bellinger is. I bet he's so... Take a guess. In the last 30 days.
Like what his value is or what his numbers are?
How about I'm going to give you at bats.
Okay.
You guess how many hits.
All right.
He has 73 at-bats in the last 30 days.
Seven hits.
So close. He's like eight. That is a 110 batting average. How many runs?
30 Nine.
How many RBI?
How many runs?
I'll tell you. Just like
that. Okay. Seven.
So he has more runs than RBI.
Yes.
He has five RBI and three runs.
Whoa.
And he has zero homers.
I was going to say, has he hit one home run? No.
Nope. He is, in the last 2 weeks, in 32 at-bats, how many hits does he have?
Last week, 32, two.
Two weeks.
Two hits.
He has three hits.
Oh, man. I'm one off here.
He might be the worst player in baseball.
Yeah, that's... that's why this should have been at the top. This is the cause. It doesn't matter what's causing it. He's terrible right now.
But we did learn what displaced and non-displaced fractures were like from a technical...
That's right. Explain it to me again without reading that.
Non-displaced mm-hmm. is where it breaks, but it stays like in the same place. Displaced mm-hmm. is where it breaks and it moves into two different points. So my toe was a displaced fracture.
But the way it sounded when you read it was displaced actually means it broke in two spots.
Or more.
Like, okay.
All of these are
so it's spots. Not just it moves, because that's what my thought was.
No,
was it just that it moves?
Displaced is where both of them are breaks. Displaced
yes, of course. Yeah.
Both breaks. Displaced is when it, like, if it was like I'm showing you, no one can see it, but it turns into this or like yeah. this. Non-displaced is it stays like this, but it's broke. It's still
what I'm saying is you can break one bone and it can be out of place. But the definition said it had to break in two spots also, which
yeah,
is
exactly.
weird.
So you'd have to have multiple. So, yeah, he sucks. Guess what? He's horrible.
Doesn't matter what kind of fracture he has. It's not good.
Yeah,
so.
he is a displaced baseball player. He's displaced. Rookies called up Ryan Vallady. He blew when
the
he
rookies
came up.
Did.
He's a lower end value guy, 0 for 4. Jake McGee placed on the IL with an oblique strain. Should we look up all the injuries? What's that?
I mean, you know, the injuries are just so it's 12 days left. Just cut them. You know, they're going on the IL. They won't play for 4 or 5 days. OK, get rid of them.
Oh, you know, another interesting story, too, was Cleveland brought up Anthony Gose. Remember him?
Yeah, yeah.
Former outfielder. He's a pitcher.
To pitch. Yeah.
You know, it's a funny thing. This was 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago. And it was crazy summer, extended spring training, something like that. Backfields of the Indians, no human being is there. It's 100-something degrees. I go there to see, you know, to watch the, like, you know, rookie level guys. And sitting over on the side of the bullpen in the shade is Anthony Gose. And he's just sitting there alone in the bullpen side, just on the ground.
The only guy that's over 24 years old.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And he's just.
Everyone's asking him to buy them beer, you know.
Oh, yeah. And he was like, you know, that was his first process of starting the transition to be a pitcher. He had signed there not too long ago. And it's just like this poor guy is, you know, in Arizona with all the rookies playing, sitting on the side, learning to be a pitcher. He looks so miserable. And now he made it to the majors. I just have this vivid memory of him just sitting there. I just looked over and I was like, yep. Sorry, buddy. At the end of the episode, interestingly enough, we were talking about a lot of guys in what value might look like next year. Cody Bellinger's, Kyle Tucker losing.
Kyle Darvish.
Some of the rookies coming up. We have a little nice little thing for you at the end of the episode. You might want to make sure you're tuned in for to learn about how we are going to make some interesting podcasts over the next couple episodes for next year value, if you can only guess what that is. But until then, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to talk about the hot hitters over the last week. Who are the guys that are helping you win your championship? And we'll look at some pitching right here on In This League.
It's In This League.
No one asked you anything ever, so whomever's name is
In This League.
Why don't you take a letter opener and stick it in your skull?
Hey, do you know who has been a little hottie hot?
who's a little hottie hot, who's a little hottie.
Jared Kelnick has been heating up.
So annoying.
Homers. His batting average still sucks balls, but over the last 2 weeks, Jared Kelnick hitting .310 with 5 homers and a stolen base, 12 RBIs, and 10 runs. I'm going to take a look here. I feel like those 12 RBIs in the last 2 weeks have got to be a little near the toppy top here. So let's take a look. We're sorting.
Why are you adding a bunch of Y's on this stuff today?
It's the end of baseball season.
The toppy top.
Well, no. Andrew Benintendi, by the way, in the last 2 weeks, your leader in RBI with 20.
Dude, he's like, it's crazy because Benintendi this last month, he's not going to get that push that Kelnick is going to get, right? But he's doing so much better than Kelnick. It's crazy to me. And he is not going to get that giant push. He'll get a little push for next year.
But, I mean, he doesn't have the power potential. Jared Kelnick has 2 less homers than Andrew Benintendi, and Benintendi's been there the entire year. But he has been the number one RBI guy. But Kelnick is in the top 20 of RBI in this last run. He's got as many as Carlos Correa. He's got more than Nolan Arenado, Salvi Perez. He has more homers and RBI in the last 2 weeks than Salvador Perez does or Framil Reyes. So he has been heating up, which I told you furthers what I was saying about Jared Kelnick going into next year. I legit think he is going to border that top 100 range. I know it sounds ridiculous, and if you look at his season total, you're going to think otherwise, but he is going to finish out with the teens of homers. He's already there, 13. I think he can get up to 15. He's going to have a sub 200 batting average, but people are going to look and you're going to see how he picked it up on the back half of the year. And this is a perfect example of that, where over the last 2 weeks, he has been an incredibly, incredibly hot hitter, hitting over .300. He's showing up power. He stole a base. These are the things that you're betting on. And now people are going to have some anecdotal like, oh, he was actually able to do it. It's just the thing that could keep him out of it is, you know, the batting average. But I mean, look at this, dude. I mean, the extrapolation would still only get him like 70 runs in RBIs, but he would be 25-10. And that's him hitting under 200. If you believe that he could be a 250 hitter, you're probably legit looking at 90-90, 25-10 at least for next season. And that's a top 100 player. I think Jared Kelnick will be taken around the top 100. It'll be more about what do you fully believe in. He's only 40% owned on Yahoo, too, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's because look at all of his season. What are his season numbers? Give them again. For the season.
13 homers, 5 stolen bases, 34 runs, 38 RBI, 178 batting average.
170, yeah, I mean, that's the kicker. You know what I mean?
In the last month, he's hit .238, 7 homers, 2 stolen bases. And in the last 2 weeks, he's got a .310 batting average with 5 homers. So he's finishing out really, really strong, which is exactly what he needed. It's the rookie adjustments. Adele finished really strong. Maybe I was also making the argument about Adele. I think Adele and Kelnick are two guys that are going to fight for that 100 range based on hot.
Look, and we've talked about, you know, Mike Trout came up for a little bit and was terrible his first month in the bigs and all that stuff.
300 at bats at Kelnick.
Right. But that's the thing. And also, I think he hit around 200. It wasn't 178. You know what I mean? So Kelnick still has some time to bring that average up. And with the way he's hitting, he is going to bring it up, but he's not going to touch 200. You know, it's going to go up to maybe 185, 190 at best.
Pretty
so
impossible. Well, and that's what may keep him out. But who do you think goes first, Kelnick or Adele?
I think Adele.
You think he goes over Kelnick?
I do now. I'm overestimating this at all. I mean, you're the prospect guy. You know better than me, but
I chose before Adele in redraft.
I just think you think of Adele hitting, you know, somewhere in that lineup with Trout and with Trout and Ohtani. And, you know, if they're going to, I think that a lot is going to depend on where they are predicting Adele to hit in the lineup. Because if he's hitting behind those guys, all right, you know, that's not protection. But if he's hitting, you know, 2 and those guys are hitting 3-4 or Adele, whatever.
Adele hit no better than 6 next year. Probably
okay.
7.
I mean, you say that, but there's not. Rendon will be back too. I mean, I guess
Rendon
will
be back. They got David Fletcher. They got Jared Walsh. There's no chance Adele hits in the top 5. He'll hit 6 or 7 next year, guaranteed. Where Kelnick, I think at worst hits 5, but I think they might put him into a prime spot next year.
I mean, that's the thing, though. That's why I would give Adele a little bit of the credit, but there's no one in that Seattle lineup at all. I mean, it's, you know, Ty France and Kyle Seager and, you know, all those guys.
And so. Kelnick is moving up. I was just curious. I just thought, like, where the hell has he been hitting? He's been hitting pretty much 7 or 8, but then his last game, he moved up to 5. Ironically,
did he go 0 for 5?
3 for 4 with a homer.
That was the two homers. Oh
no, the two homers. He was hitting 6, so he's slow. Is that, man? My vision. So he's been hitting 8. He hit 6 when he hit the two homers. Then he hit 7. He went 0 for 1, and then that was probably a pinch hit, and then he moved up to 5. He hit 3 for 4. So I think it's like you're gonna have a couple spots up on Kelnick, but Kelnick just represents a higher,
floor
stat
or ceiling.
Yeah, where Adele, I mean, it's short lived, but he had 4 homers and 2 stolen bases. If you would have doubled that up to get to Kelnick's numbers, you'd still be 8 homers, 4 stolen bases, but a better batting average. I think it's like, if I were to put a poll out, I'll bet you it's 70% in favor of Kelnick going above Adele next year.
All right. I mean, what's Adele's best year in the minors as far as homers and swipes go? I mean, he's not a big stolen base guy, but year he had 23 homers and 8 stolen bases, and he hit .289 in 339 plate appearances in AAA. That's by far his best year.
Oh, yeah, 100%. He was the leader in homers for a period of time. But, like, you got to remember, in 2019, when he was here in the Fall League, he had injuries and he did the 5-level thing, which I've talked about a bunch. He moved 3 levels through, but he had got injured in spring training before. Then he played for Team USA.
Yeah, and he's still striking out at even at AAA, he was 30%. I mean, he's actually better strikeout rate in the bigs than at AAA. But
Kelnick has been a problem too. But that's why I think both share similar strikeout issues. Kelnick is a better hitter, though. And he's stealing bases more, and he's really showing off the prolific power. I mean, he's 13 homers with a .178 batting average is pretty impressive. You can extrapolate probably, you know, 5 to 7 more homers if you were at least hitting .250. Imagine if he was .250 hitter with 20-something home runs and like 300 or 400 at bats this year. I mean, that would be through the roof. You know, he'd be closer to where Wander is.
It'll be very interesting to see what all of the projection systems have Kelnick at for next year.
I'll bet you right now, I'm going to bet it's a .230 batting average.
.230? Okay. Yep. I mean, honestly, that might be favorable, you know.
Yeah, so. I'll bet you it's .230 with 26 home. I'll bet the bat will be .230 with like 26.
What would the Welsh's projection system be? Based on no analytics and you're not looking at anything that spits anything out, it's just Welsh in a pad of paper.
Next year?
Yes.
I think I'm going to go .250 batting average. And I think he's going to be 27 homers, 12 stolen bases,
80-80. Okay. Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to be aggressive on him.
Yeah, that's top 100 player right there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I will most likely have him there in the early ranks. Like, I'm a believer. Adele, I think, unfortunately, is going to be in a similar range. I think he's going to be a .250, .260 hitter, but I think it's probably closer to like 15-10 with, you know, maybe some ups and down swings. I think Kelnick is going to level out, and then we'll also see Julio next year, which is going to be tight. All right, some of the hottest hitters. Interestingly enough, Boggs, there is another, and I'm jumping a little bit. Am I on the wrong?
You better not be passing up Jose Siri. That's all I'm going
to
say.
No, Jose Siri has been phenomenal.
But I was talking about I might have to drop him in. Thank God I didn't, because I got smashed anyway in the OG Dynasty. But, I mean, he has been great. He could be trade bait next year or something for the Astros.
He's been phenomenal. I was going to say one guy has been really good where I'm not really sure where he shows up on the list. But over the last 7 days, I guess he's 21. Why am I not seeing him on here? Let me look here. Oh, just because I wasn't scrolled down. But another Marlin has been top 25. It's just a guy I really love was Lewin Diaz. Lewin Diaz, a very hot pickup right now, just crushed a homer. He is, over the last two weeks, actually crushed.
2 weeks.
He's on 6 of his last 7 games. He has a hit. He's got 3 homers in those last 7 games. Had a homer yesterday. Couple RBI in there. .333 batting average. He's getting consistent playing time. And he's been hitting between 5 and 2 in the lineup for the Marlins. 1% rostered. Jesus Sanchez was a big win. Lewin Diaz has always been a high contact hitter who has really struggled in adjustments. And he's just making a nice little adjustment on the back half of the year. He's got Washington early part of this week. Then Tampa, we'll have to see where that goes. But Lewin, I think, is a decent pickup with 1% owned. But your top player over the last 7 days, I've got, and I saw your Jose Siri thing, but is Tyler O'Neill. 3 homers, yeah. .391 batting average, 2 stolen bases. But let's go to the lower owned guys. So that's where you're going. Jose Siri, 3 homers, a stolen base, 8 of 16. Number 4 overall.
He's just still barely playing.
Yeah, he pinch hit against the Diamondbacks in a homer. He didn't play the 2 games prior to that. He's hitting low in the lineup. It's a super, it's one of those where it's just like you can't rely on it. That's why he's 5% owned, I think, too.
Yeah. I'm with you on Jose Siri. I just think that he is building up his value right now to be a potential trade chip in the offseason for the Astros, you know, because he's not a guy that's going to get in there and play every day. They probably
be a fourth outfielder for them.
Yeah, which is annoying though for fantasy. We don't want that. We would rather see him traded, but and there's going to be injuries, so he'll play. But it's just, you know, I don't know, man. Like, you see a guy that like Miguel Sano right now is hitting .346 over the last week, you know, and he's having a pretty good September here. When a guy like Miguel Sano does that in the last month of the season, and you know, fair or not, that's the last impression that they leave on drafters.
Yeah.
So, you know, now they're going to be drafted again. Does that fill you with hope for that player, or does it fill you with annoyance that now we got to push this guy up when he probably maybe could have been a deal? I mean, I know you're not a Miguel Sano guy anyway,
you know,
but
it's little to nothing for me.
Let's not use Miguel Sano then. Let's use anybody else. You know, what's happening with Kelnick? Does it fill you with annoyance to see him play well, to know that cost is going to boost him up? Or does it fill you with hope like, yeah, I'm going to be the guy that gets in on him?
No, so, there's a couple ways I'd put that. With Kelnick specifically, that is the type of guy you desperately want to see this, because I'm a believer in Kelnick. So, like, I need that confirmation. So I'm ecstatic, even if it raises his cost back up, because I would love to have got that from Bellinger, because I'm also, like, I still want to believe, but there's nothing. It would have been like, if you're a believer in Kelnick and he would have struggled, you would have been taking a big risk. Now, here's one that you're more talking about. Mondesi. Mondesi has been, at least in the last week, a top 5 player.
Okay.
4 stolen bases. This is the type of stuff, even though he's not destroying it.
Mondesi's like too high for this conversation, though.
No, but it's the same thing. I actually think with the struggles, Mondesi could have pushed down to 4, 5, 6 round, where now with the stolen bases and the hot run, he's going to move up. Guys like Sano that are in the 200s, like, or 2 or 250s, if they move up like 50 spots, I don't really care. 250.
Bobby Dalbec, like Bobby Dalbec having a big year. Just knowing that, you know, he's going to be on people's radars annoys me a little bit. You know what I mean? I'm like, come on.
I
want to save that value for next year. Like, you know, but.
Well, 23 homers and under 400 at bats. I get what you're saying. You're like,
right.
If people forget, you could get a 30 home run guy post 200.
I mean, there's so many 20 homer guys anymore that, you know, 20 homers kind of goes unnoticed. You know what I mean? So that's just kind of those little things. That's just like future thoughts of drafting for next year that kind of run through my head at this point.
Deep
thoughts in the season. That's right.
Jared Kelnick, by the way, is number 6 in the last week in baseball. Like I said, 40% owned on Yahoo. Probably not out there, but you never know. Lewin Diaz, only 1% owned. That's why I would, you know, if you need a little bit of power boost, I think he is a guy to look at and pick up, because he's so cheaply owned, and the Marlins are getting late production. Josh Harris, 33% owned, 9 RBI, hitting .400, getting almost all the starts and leading off in that time. So that's why you might want to be taking a look, with all the position eligibility as well. Freddie Galvis has got a homer, and he's only 6% owned. Jesus Sanchez still inside the top 50, 2 homers, .261 in the last week. He had a 2-homer game against Washington. And even though he struggled a little bit, I'm looking here, 5, 6, 7, 8. He's got hits in 8 of his last 10 games still. And if you go back to September 10th, he's got 5 homers in that time. So, I mean, the last 10 days, he's got 5 homers.
What about Gavin Lux, though? Sitting right at 50, hitting .389, and playing almost every day. I think he had Friday off, but he's played every other day since the 10th.
This is actually huge for Gavin Lux, too, because about ready to write it all off, and he's been playing in the outfield. I think he's been playing some left field, which has been good.
Oh, he collided with Cody Bellinger, you know. Yeah, exactly. So
6 of his last 7 games, he's got hits in, and 4 of those multi-hit, 3 straight games with multi-RBIs as well. This is a huge. Okay, so Gavin, so Boggs, this is a borderline one. I've been concerned about how Gavin Lux is, to a point where had he not had this good start, I'm not sure this would have got me excited at all. But this could potentially raise this where I'm like, damn it, because Gavin Lux.
That's dynasty value, man.
Yeah, well, the dynasty value guy is getting banged a little bit, but he's never been better. I mean, this is why I've been saying, like, this is a buy guy. It's just there's been nothing to justify, and we did need something to justify it, and this late in here is exactly what we're talking about.
Right, right. And this is, you know, I think it's bigger for a guy like Lux for his dynasty value, because now he's an actual trade chip, because there's some guys that their value is so low in the offseason, you can't trade them. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, if they come up and they play terribly, you cannot trade them, you know, but guys like Lux, young guys like Jesus Sanchez, you know, these guys that are putting together huge Septembers, now their value comes up and they are viable trade chips again. They're not guys that you, there's no way you can trade at all, you know? So that's a big piece of it too. But yeah, I mean, where do you think, I mean, Jesus Sanchez has a pretty high ceiling as well. Obviously, I feel like bigger swings for him. Where do you think he's going to go? Like, could you see him climb inside the top 200, or do you think he's just going to be one of those free outfielders that you take at the end of your draft next year?
I think he's free. I think he's a free outfielder, big power guy. I don't think he slips inside the top 200, like maybe around 250. There's a big old collection of those guys. I mean, I'm going to be like, I was a big, obviously, Jesus Sanchez guy. I also like Lewin Diaz a lot. I love the hot ends to these, because they're both guys that could get full run, especially if you get the DH in the NL. Aguilar could just go play DH. That would give an everyday job to Lewin Diaz. They're not going to stop that. And if Lewin gets right, he was a hard contact type of guy, like an average guy who transformed his body to power. He would be one of those guys I would sneakily be looking at, especially probably in more like NL only. Like NL only formats, Jesus and Lewin are going to be more exciting. They're just deep league, probably pickup type of guys, but the hot starts are very good to monitor.
I would almost be annoyed if Jesus Aguilar had to move to DH, because he's funny out there at first base. There's always like 5 or 6 highlights of him screwing with someone at first base a year that are hilarious. So I would almost be annoyed if that, but I mean, that is what he's best suited for.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I'm about to say, you know, my favorite thing for my fantasy team is like hilarious.
Okay. All right. Can I just enjoy baseball that's not fantasy for a second, you dick?
If you pay me $50, you can. over the last two weeks, some of the pitchers that you can take a look at, this has been a great one, and it's a really good story, though. You know, he's got to be on the back half to pick up the win. It's been Aaron Ashby. Aaron Ashby with the Brewers. He has been, what is it? The top, that would be the 6th best pitcher, at least in the last 2 weeks on Yahoo. 8 innings, 11 strikeouts, no earned runs, and under 1 whip, because he's picked up a couple wins. So he's a piggyback guy that's picking up wins. He's a multi-inning relief guy. So he is a fantastic pickup, because you can get him a couple times like in the week, you know, like,
right.
Like you're almost guaranteed to get him 2 times.
Is he the Freddie piggyback? Is that what they're doing after Freddie goes his 80 pitches to bring in Ashby?
I don't know if it was directly to Freddie, but he is a piggyback guy. And since he hasn't pitched since the 17th, we're up, I think, to 2 piggybacks this week. And you've got the Cubs, St. Louis, and the Mets. Somewhere he's going to fall in there. I think Aaron Ashby's a great pickup. Who's not going to show up on the probable pitchers. I think he's someone that you can sneak in. It's, you know, and it depends what you did early on in the week and what your pitchers look like this week. That's just a sneaky one that you can pop in. And he's also going to qualify it as a relief pitcher. So that's why I think that one is like, it's almost a must pickup if you can in leagues to help your ratios and everything like that. You've got a couple other ratio guys here. Michael Pineda, 34% owned. He has had 3 straight wins, but he's got Toronto later this week on Thursday. And I don't, even though he did pick up the win against Toronto just last, but he only had two strikeouts.
I'm
going to avoid
that. The risk is, the juice ain't worth the squeeze on that one. I don't think so.
No. Dietrich Ennis has got Oh, man. I mean, his schedule is about every five. He would look like he would have Toronto. I just, he's been good, but I don't know if I like the, I just am trying to avoid Toronto for the most, even though I'm like, hey, Shane
Bob. And who the hell knows, like, what weird stuff the Rays are going to do? Is he going to open? Is he going to be the piggybacker? I mean, it's just crazy with them, you know. They're going to bring up more Shane Bosses, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's not enough Shane Bosses, I suppose, to go around. I mean, the Tampa Bay guys are all, yeah, see, I mean, Drew Rasmussen is scheduled to go. I'm going to guess Enns is going to go on the 20th because Rasmussen is the scheduled starter for Tampa Bay on the 21st. So there's just a lot of wonkiness on that. Willie Peralta Boggs scheduled for Kansas City later this week. He just went 7, struck out 3 against Tampa Bay, and went 6, striking out 5 against
the Royals are the hottest hitting team in baseball with Salvi Perez and Andrew Benintendi. I mean, and Mondesi.
Salvi's trending down just a tiny bit. Willie has been fantastic. He's been just outside of a top 100 overall value, but he's been relatively like a top 30 pitcher in this last time. Are you a straight avoid?
Yeah, I don't think I want to mess with it, so.
I kind of like the Logan Gilbert against L.A. That is coming up on Friday, it looks like. Last start, he went 7, struck out 5. Before that, against Boston, he went 6, striking out 9. Both quality starts in that time. I like the Angels matchup. I think that's a good one. I think, where did he go? 41% owned, so he's under 50. Anybody else you like as far as the pitchers if you're playing around right here?
Not really, not as far as pickups go. And look, this deep into the year, you can't trust the Friday, Saturday, Sunday schedule right now. So it's, we'll look at that later in the week. But I think for now, the guys that you listed, those piggybackers are pretty strong.
Aaron Ashby, my favorite of all of them. Yeah. You can get that in. It's been a really good run, and he's a sneaky one. For
piggyback's a weird word. Why do we say piggyback? And pigtails. Why are there so many pig things? Now I want bacon.
Say piggyback. I would like to also know the history of that. Piggyback. It started out in the 16th century as pick pack, carrying something on the back or shoulders. Pick is a medieval version of pitch, so it meant a load that was pitched onto a person's back by carrying. A little later, pick pack meant a ride on somebody's shoulder. So let's keep going.
So what you're saying is it means load on someone's back?
You're going to load on someone's back. Then it became pick a back. Finally, the pigs came along in the 19th century by a confusion between pick and pig, an obvious enough change. Piggyback came along later in the century with piggyback, a modern loss of the hyphen. It said, we're not sure what country the pigs were introduced, but that's where it came from.
Is that where pigtails and piggy bank come from as well?
It's probably a lot of people like me who will just like jumble words together. So it's like some like 18th century like hillbilly.
The common denominator is people are stupid. That's the common denominator.
Really stupid, and they're just like piggyback, and then everybody said it, and it just became the common thing. So that's the origin of that. Follow us on Twitter at Isith Welsh. At Bogman Sports for other great musings, patreon.com/ITLArmy. A lot of cool stuff. Like I said, October 1st, I've got my next break event, which is going to be really fun. Arizona Fall League info is probably going to drop this week. I'll be talking about that soon on Prospect One. I'm also going to do an AMA on Prospect One, so Patreon people are going to get first dibs on that. It'll be a pretty quick here in the week, so be on the lookout and just, you know, have so much fun in the offseason with us and keep your fantasy baseball top of mind. $5 a month. A little bit more if you want to do that. How about your boys? What could be worse? I mean, probably a lot. A lot could be worse.
Right, what could be better?
What could be better? What could be worse? But which one would you say? What could be better? Because I actually think I could.
What could be better? You're helping us out. You're getting some stuff. What could be better? You wouldn't say what could be worse. Why would you say that?
I don't know. Because like I feel like actually
you're the person that started piggyback. You're the guy. You're the one. So
thank you, Dan Clark. Appreciate it. We're out of here.
He united everything but this podcast.
Okay. Oh, yeah.